Yes, thank the Lord. Aren't you glad that you found it? And if you haven't found it, if there's not something burning inside this morning listening to that, then there you need to keep digging, because there is something so wonderful in the Lord. The evangelist in me just wants to take off and preach on finding it, but Lord has something else a little here this morning. But I am so thankful to have found it. I look at people that have even heard this truth and have sat where you have sat, and they're searching and looking for it in with money and prestige and what the world has to offer. And I'm going to tell you where they're going to end up. They're going to end up with nothing. Or they're going to end up going full circle, coming back and say, you know what, I had it. And I lost it in pursuit of other things. I don't want to lose the years that I have in vainlessly seeking for satisfaction from the things in this world. It never brings it. It doesn't bring happiness, but I'm thankful that we have the Lord, and I'm so thankful for the reality of Christ this morning. I'd like to begin this morning in the book of 1 Samuel in the 16th chapter. Title of the message is, When Jesus Looked. And I want us to know that Jesus is looking this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 16, very familiar passage of Scripture. And as you know, the story that Saul, King Saul, had lost his anointing from God. He had displeased God, he disobeyed the Lord. And so the Lord told Samuel to go and anoint one of Jesse's sons as king. And so Samuel went to find one of Jesse's sons, the one that was supposed to be the new king. And it came to pass in verse 6, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on what? On the outward appearance, but God looks where? On the heart. Now that sword cuts both ways, you all. People say, well, God knows my heart, so it doesn't matter how I look. Well, since you can't know my heart, I better look in a way that'll direct you to Christ. See, because you can't see my heart, so you're going to get something communicated to you based on the outward, but God sees it all. And God is not judging this morning based on just how something looks. Because we can dress something up. And we can appear holy on the outside, but the Lord is looking on our hearts. Because the root of holiness is not how we dress, saints. The root of holiness is not how we look on the outside. The essence of holiness is about what's going on in our hearts. And so the exhortation was, and a little bit of correction here maybe, was the Lord told Samuel, he said, wait, hold on a minute. You see this tall, young, strong young man, and you say, surely this must be the king. This must be the one. The Lord said, wait, this isn't the one. He said, because... you know, men looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Samuel had assessed the situation based on his own perspectives. And we all do that. We only see what we can see. And we make judgments based on the evidence that we see with our eyes. And yet, the Lord is looking and He sees something different than what we see. I believe probably all of us have been guilty at times of misjudging situations because we didn't know hearts. We didn't know motivations. We didn't know intents. You could say, but you said that. But maybe their intent was something different. Maybe that's not what they meant. It's what they said, but maybe they meant it differently. Do you know that God is looking on each one of us this morning, and He knows the very intents and thoughts of our heart? And if our desire this morning is to please the Lord, you can be comforted to know that the Lord looks. When Jesus looks on me, actually, I'd like to, let's change this. Whoops, I guess that's not the good way to erase, is it? when Jesus looks on us, he knows where we're at. And sometimes when we make mistakes, and sometimes we err, and sometimes we maybe don't handle something, but our heart was right, we can be comforted that the Lord knows my heart. He knew my purpose was honorable. And the Lord knows that this morning. He looks beyond the surface. The scripture in Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." You know, the Lord has a bird's eye perspective this morning. We are limited. We are looking at things on one plane. But the Lord is looking and He sees from a higher elevation, and He sees everything that is going on in our hearts and in our lives this morning. The Second Chronicles in 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect." So I want us to establish here very simply that the Lord sees what we don't see, and He understands what we don't understand, and He sees the good, and He sees the evil. You know, one of the advantages of having a pastor as long as I've been here is you get to hear my stories more than once. So I remember in elementary school, and I probably was a little bit disingenuous, and that would be a thought for another day. But I'll just tell you what I did. There was a boy by the name of Billy Kohlmeyer. And I went up to him, and I was in maybe fifth grade. And I looked at him one day, and I said, "Billy," I said, "I saw you." And I saw the fear in his eyes. I saw it, and I thought, "Gotcha." And I repeated myself, because I did see him. But I said, "Billy," I said, "I saw you. I saw you. You saw me kiss Aaron in the big tires." I said, "Well, no, I didn't see that." Well, he didn't know what I had seen, and I got it out of him what he felt guilty about. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Young people and children, mom and dad may or may not see, and they may or may not know, but the eyes of the Lord are in every place. They are when you go on vacation, the eyes of the Lord are there. When you are by yourself in the privacy of your home, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He hears every word we speak. He sees everything we do. He hears everything we listen to. He sees everything we look at. He knows our thoughts, our intentions, our motivations, our purposes, and He knows He's omnipotent because He is omnipresent. And He knows everything, and He sees. So I'd like us to consider, when Jesus looks, what does He see? Over in the book of Matthew 9:36, and I have a number of verses, so I'm just going to share. When He saw the multitude, now this is talking about Jesus. When He saw the multitude, He was moved with what? He was moved with compassion. "Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." You know, when the Lord looks on people today, when Jesus looks, He's still being moved with compassion. People that are wondering as if they have no shepherd, and the Lord is moved. And I want you to know this morning, in your struggles and in your battles and in your trials and in your alone times and in your misunderstood times, in your lonely times, and in the times of questioning, when Jesus looks, He is moved with compassion. Mark chapter 8, verse 31 to 33. And he began to teach them, and the Son of Man must suffer many things, and rejected of the elders of the chief priests and scribes to be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus was telling his disciples, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to suffer. And Peter spake up, and he began to rebuke Christ. Can you imagine? And Peter didn't mean it badly. I mean, understand. I mean, he's pretty human. It's like, Jesus, no. And the scripture says, when he turned about and looked. Okay, Jesus turned and looked on the disciples, and he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Sometimes, have you ever had someone bring something up that wasn't accurate or true, and you just, it's like, just let it go. Just let it go. Someone asked us a while back, well, you're going to respond to such and such. It's like, no, just let it go. Just let it go. It's okay. You don't have to correct everybody that says something wrong. Young people, it's a good lesson to learn, especially if you think you know it. And someone's wrong. There's too many people, too many problems, so little time. You've heard that expression. We don't have to correct every wrong that's in our world, you know. But sometimes, even when it's about you, you need to learn sometimes just let it go. Sometimes there's a place to address. Christ addressed it in this place. And he turned and he looked and he addressed it. What is he doing with us, with our ideas and our opinions? When Jesus looks at us, let's listen to what he has to say. Lord, if I was in error, I want you to correct me. I want you to show me. I don't want to get misled. I don't want to get in a place where I'm deceived by something. So when we're up talking, well, I'm going to do this, and this is the way it is, and you can almost feel... You all remember as children, you older ones, and those of you that are younger now, sometimes did your parents even have to say anything to you? You got the look. Okay, my daughter's nodding her head, yes. Everybody else. But you understand that you know that isn't when a parent just, all they have to do is just turn and they were communicated something. Can we be open to the Lord when he turns that... Because when the look doesn't work, the next thing, you know, you hear that snap. Y'all hear that in service every once in a while? You know what that is, too. They didn't get the look, so maybe this. And the next thing is like, you're out of here, buddy. Let's go. And that's the way. What does Jesus have to do with us? Can our hearts be open this morning that with all our opinions and ideas, and I think this, and the Lord just kind of turns around and looks at us. Can we take that message? I don't like being snapped at. I want to be open. The scripture says, and I didn't have this written, the eyes of the Lord. You know, he will guide us. The scripture says he will guide us with his what? With his eye. In other words, he'll guide us, he'll direct us. Over in the book of Luke, in the 22nd chapter, in the 59th verse. This is after the arrest of Christ in the garden. And remember that Peter was following where? He was following afar off. And Jesus had told Peter, he said, you're going to deny me thrice. And if you read through that, Peter denied Jesus once. He denied him twice. And he denied him the third time in verse 60. Peter said... Someone said, of the truth, this man's a Galilean. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And then immediately while he spake, the cock crew. And the scripture says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That's all he did. He didn't say anything. He didn't snap at him. He didn't holler out a reproof. When the sound of the cock crew, Jesus just turned back. And he just looked at him. How do you think he looked at him? Do you think Jesus was mad? Do you think he glared at him? Have you ever had the Lord turn and just look at you? It's like, you know what? I told you this was going to happen. You've disappointed me. I'm sad that you've done this. And yet, I think there was love in the disappointment. When Jesus turned and looked, how's the Lord looking at us this morning? Is there some sadness? Is there some reproof? I know there's compassion. And I know there's love. It says Peter went out, and do you remember what he did? He wept. Didn't need the preacher come hit him over the head with a hammer. What do you think you're doing? All it took was the Lord turning and just looking at him. And he went out and wept. I would this morning that more of us would respond to just the look of the Lord. The Lord loves us this morning. And I would that when we fail the Lord or we fall short and Jesus kind of turns and looks at us, it's like, Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry, Lord. Matthew 21, verse 12, we won't take the time to turn and read it, but Jesus went into the temple. And it doesn't say he looked, but that's what happened. He went into the temple and he saw the money changers. He saw that they were taking what had been, was supposed to be a sacred place, and they turned it into a place of merchandise, in a place of business. And so he went, and that's when he knocked over the money changer tables, and he drove the cows out, the animals out, because they had perverted the house of God. He saw that. Do you know the Lord sees what we're doing? He sees what we're about. We're building our chapel. The Lord knows what's that about. He knows what it's about. He knows what's going on in the privacy, again, of our homes. He's there and he knows. And he saw much of the Gospels are Christ addressing the Pharisees. And he was addressing their hearts. He knew what was going on inside. They looked righteous. Anybody that says that the saints are about the outward appearance doesn't know what they're talking about. Okay? Because true righteousness only comes from the heart. Dress the drunkard up in modest clothing, he's still drunk. Take the prostitute from off the street and put her in a long dress and a long skirt and modest clothes. Guess what? She still is what she is. We can dress up the outside, but the Lord knows what's going in our hearts. He knows our motivation. He knows our thoughts. He knows the words that we speak. He knows our desires and our purposes. And so he spent a lot of the Gospels, his life, his ministry, was addressing the spiritual so-called people. The Pharisees, and he was trying to communicate to them, there's something more important than the outside. We don't throw it out, but that's of minimal importance when compared to the inside. The love and the joy and the gentleness and the forgiveness and the long-suffering and that's so much more important because that's the grace of God working in the life. He turned and he looked. There's a passage in Luke 19. I would like to read this one specifically in the 19th chapter of Luke, verse 41. And he came, and when he was come near, he beheld the city. Chapter 19, verse 41. When he was come near, he beheld the city. Jesus looked out over Jerusalem. You remember what he did? He wept. I know just a little bit of how I think Jesus felt. Have you ever looked over your loved ones and wept? Have you ever looked over those that were struggling? Jesus looked over the city whom he was going to die for, whom he had offered an opportunity of salvation, and he wept. And he said, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thee. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee upon the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of visitation. Let me translate that for you. 40 years, give or take a few years, around 40 years after Christ, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. There was not one stone left unturned from the temple. The city was destroyed. The Romans laid siege to the city, and there was a horrific famine that took place. Children were being eaten. It was a horrible, horrible thing that took place in that city, and it was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. There were, I saw just the other day, I believe it was, I don't know how many people died. There were tens and tens of thousands of people that died with that destruction. Do you know how many Christians died? Anybody remember? In Jerusalem, there were zero Christians that died. You know why? Because Jesus had told them, when you see this happen, flee for your life. And the Romans came and besieged the city. We won't go into all the history now, but then they left. They left. And then they came back later and besieged it to the end. So when they came and besieged it the first time, the Christians were waiting for it because Christ had told them the signs of what was going to take place. And when the Romans came, they said, okay, this is it. And they left. All of the Christians fled the city. And not one of them died, but the others that remained. Jesus looked out over that city and said, I told you what was going to happen. And he wept over them. This morning, Jesus is weeping over those that he's told, this is the way. This is your redemption. This is your salvation. And yet people are out seeking and searching for it out there. And I want us all to know that Christ is weeping this morning. I told Brother Paul the other day, we were working and he was fixing to leave. And I told him, I said, Brother Paul, I said, you laid up a couple more stars up in heaven. He said, oh, it's not about works. And I know what he meant. That was the appropriate response. He was not wanting to take it. But I told him, I said, well, I said, there is a book of life. But I said, there's also a book of works up in heaven. And the Lord is seeing and he's looking at everything we're doing. And there's a book of works that he's also recording everything that we do in life. You remember the young man that came to Jesus, and we'll be done here shortly. You remember the young man that came to Jesus and said, good master, what thing must I do to inherit eternal life? The scripture says, and you can read it over in Mark chapter 10, it says, Jesus beholding him loved him. You know, regardless of where we are, Jesus loves us so much this morning. And it was his love that enabled him to tell the truth. He said, if you want to follow me, he said, keep the commandments. And he went through a list of the commandments. And the young man said, I've been doing these things. He said, yeah, but there's one thing you haven't been doing. You know that all the good things that we might be doing this morning, there might still be one thing the Lord's saying, there's one thing that you're lacking. He said, if you want to follow me, he said, go and sell everything that you have. And then come and follow me. It was an issue of the heart. It wasn't about the money. It was an issue of the heart. And the young man went away sorrowfully. Jesus looked on him and loved him. So David said it this way. Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Know my heart and try me and know my thoughts. Lord, I want you to look my way. And the scripture says to this man, while I look even to him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word, I want my heart this morning, and I want to encourage us to have our heart humbled before God, that when Jesus looks, he can say, well done, And if I'm in error when he looks at me, all it takes is his eye. Like, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to change this, Lord. But I also want us to know that the Lord loves us this morning. He looks on us with so much love. If you're struggling as a young person or a child this morning, I want you to know the Lord really is interested in you. And if you're someone this morning that feels like that you can just never quite measure up, and you're just always falling short, you've had these failures, I want you to know the Lord is looking on you with love and compassion this morning, and he's saying, I want to gather you in. As a hen does her chicks, I just want to gather you under my wings. I don't want to be one of the ones the Lord weeps over and says, but you would not. I want to just look and see the Lord looking over me and see his love, and I want to get closer to him. If you're a parent this morning and it just seems like that the burden is great for your children, sometimes it just seems like you don't know what to do. When Jesus looks, he understands that. He's been there. He was there at Jerusalem and he wept. So he sees your tears. But he's also there to walk with you through those times when we say, Lord, I don't know what to do. In your job, in your school, husbands and wives, if you go through those times with your companion that it just seems like things aren't quite clicking like you wish they would, I want you to know the Lord is, he's looking and he cares and he loves. And let's be led by his eye, but let's keep our heart humble this morning. When Jesus looks, we can know that he loves and he cares.